All things pass. A sunrise does not last all morning. All things pass. A cloudburst does not last all day. Timothy Leary, Psychedelic Prayers After the Tao Te Ching. Prologue, Hammersmith Odeon, December 1964. For Eric Clapton, meeting the Beatles, and especially George Harrison, was a turning point. It was December 1964, and the Yardbirds, with 19-year-old Clapton playing lead guitar, were one of the supporting acts for Another Beatles Christmas Show, which comprised 21 dates at London's Hammersmith Odeon. As it happened, the Yardbirds were sixth on the bill behind the Fab Four, of course, along with Freddie and the Dreamers, DJ Jimmy Savile, Sounds Incorporated, and Elkie Brooks. The brainchild of Beatles manager Brian Epstein, the Christmas shows proved to be a seasonal hit in 1963, and the 1964 installment would equal, if not eclipse, the previous year's take. For the Beatles, the Christmas shows would be a tiresome affair, especially after having experienced a whirlwind of global fame across that incredible year. Not only would they perform two sets per day for 18 of the Hammersmith Odeon dates, but they would also be decked out in full costume for a series of comedy sketches, including one that required them to dress up Eskimo style as Arctic explorers in search of the abominable snowman. Meeting the world's most famous band was a big deal for Clapton. Years later, he would remember vividly the moment in which the group strode into his orbit. "Hanging out backstage at the Odeon was where I had my first meeting with the Beatles," he later recalled. "Paul played the ambassador, coming out to meet us and saying hello. I remember him playing us the tune of Yesterday, which was half written, and asking everyone what they thought. He didn't have the words yet. He was calling it Scrambled Eggs, and singing Scrambled Eggs. Everybody calls me Scrambled Eggs." For Eric and the other Yardbirds, meeting the Beatles in the flesh seemed surreal. "The Beatles were then in another world to us," he remembered. "They were stars, and climbing fast." In their own way, the Yardbirds were also on the move. Eric joined the band after 16-year-old lead guitarist Anthony Topham was forced to quit the group by his parents, who preferred that their son concentrate on his schoolwork as opposed to performing nightly in a music club. At first, the band seemed like the perfect fit for Clapton, who listened to the Yardbirds' regular set at London's legendary Crawdaddy Club. They were playing good R&B, songs like You Can't Judge a Book by Bo Diddley and Smokestack Lightning by Howlin' Wolf, Eric remembered, and for me, just the fact that they knew these songs was enough for me to enjoy them. Fancying himself as a blues purist, Eric couldn't resist the opportunity to be Topham's replacement, and besides, Eric later wrote, "For the first time in my life, I now had a full-time job as a musician." During his first 3 months with the Yardbirds, Eric reveled in the opportunity to perform the blues night after night. As he recalled, "What I immediately liked about being in the Yardbirds was that our entire reason for existence was to honor the tradition of the blues. We didn't write any songs at first, but the covers we chose to do defined our identity." The Yardbirds enjoyed a regular gig at the Crawdaddy, courtesy of their manager, Giorgio Gomelski, the up-and-coming promoter who operated the club in the back room of the Station Hotel. Still smarting after losing out to Andrew Loog Oldham in his effort to rep the Rolling Stones, Gomelski was determined to transform the Yardbirds into a world-beating success. For Gomelski, Eric seemed like the perfect vehicle to accomplish this end. As a member of the Yardbirds, Clapton was making his name as a virtuoso soloist at the Crawdaddy. Gomelski even played a part in deriving the guitarist's famous nickname. As Eric recalled, "While most other bands were playing three-minute songs, we were taking three-minute numbers and stretching them out to 5 or 6 minutes, during which time the audience would go crazy, shaking their heads around manically and dancing in various outlandish ways. On my guitar, I used light-gauge guitar strings, with a very thin first string, which made it easier to bend the notes, and it was not uncommon, during the most frenetic bits of playing, for me to break at least one string. During the pause, while I was changing my string, the frenzied audience would often break into a slow hand clap." Inspiring